Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. We're doing three podcasts this week because I just love you guys that much and because I love the sound of my own voice that much. Anyways, I hope everybody's week is going well. I know mine is going pretty dang well, and we're going to talk about that a little bit here. I saw Tim Poole going back and forth with Brad Palumbo, and I felt like it warranted its own response. Now, as to whether or not this will reach anybody of significance, that's up for anybody's bet. I'm going to say probably not, but figure I would just put it out there and also get some bants back and forth or banter with the audience and tell you guys about the EV stuff and continue on my ongoing love for the Alien series, because I just beat Alien Isolation literally right before I came up here. Hey, good to see you. I'm glad that you got the notification. I don't know. So, you know what, while we're here, if you're listening to this right now live on YouTube, please make sure you're subscribed and hit the notification bell if you wouldn't mind. And while you're at it, also go down there and check out all those fancy links down below, Fox & Sons Coffee and Deemed Fit. But the one I'm going to be pushing a little bit more is Tiger Fitness, tigerfitness.com/KyleM. To let Tiger Fitness know that In Liberty and Health had sent you. You also get a little discount on all their wonderful supplements, all the stuff that I use day in, day out. So I guess without further ado, let me run my introduction and we will get right into it.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
And one more time, good afternoon, good evening, good night, however, wherever you're listening to this, hopefully you're doing well. Be good to see you as always. I guess first things first, A Common Crown's got a bunch of shows coming up, so make sure you come go to our website, go to our Facebook page for all that. I've shared a picture a couple times with our whole lineup, and we're pretty jam-packed. We're looking at getting on to a couple more shows potentially, but you know, we're not really planning on booking too much more, so our schedule's mostly filled out till about I want to say probably about August. But yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that. Make sure everybody goes and checks that out. But yeah, I like I said in the introduction, I wanted to hop on here because the whole free trade and economics debate that Brad Palumbo, who I don't care for, I don't follow these, let's face it, gay commentators. I can't be bothered to really listen to, but it came across my timeline, and I despise Tim Poole anymore because he's just gone. He's regressed so far to the mean of your average like boomer con kind of guy. And he has some like decent takes, like some of his culture takes I actually kind of agree with. And I used to really, really like him, but just over time, just the pure MAGA asshole gaping, just that's not my deal, man. And when you're not objective about how you report things, and you claim to be an objective journalist who's just reading the news, that's why I start to have a problem with you, because I try to be objective as possible, and I try to give you guys the information as I see it and give you the truth as I see it. I may fail in that endeavor occasionally, but I'm always trying to give you an honest position of mine. I'm not trying to feed you one narrative or another, which, you know, like I did on the show past Sunday, where I kind of described like the first 9 days of the Trump administration have been surprisingly pretty damn good. I can tip my hat to him and say that like a lot of the executive orders and stuff like that, it's looking really good these first 9 days. And I was completely wrong about how a lot of this stuff would kind of go. And I'm actually pretty glad to be wrong about that, because obviously that favors our country and my fellow, you know, men and women who just are working class people trying to make a living and, you know, live the good life and, you know, maybe occasionally put on some black clothing and go out and play heavy metal music like I like to do so much. But yeah, like the immigration stuff is good. The foreign policy stuff, specifically with like the ceasefire in Gaza. There's even news of Trump pulling out, I think it was 20,000 troops out of Europe, 20,000 or 2,000. I can't remember the exact number. I should have had the article pulled up, but Kyle or Dave wrote that up recently. And yeah, I mean, that's fantastic. What, you know, what the hell are we doing over in Europe? I mean, I could probably tell you what it is. It's probably not just to go, you know, hang out and have beers with the boys. It's probably because, hey, if shit really pops off in Ukraine, and, you know, anyone feels a little froggy, then, you know, you got people right there ready to go. The battle is won when the average American regards the Daily Wire. Exactly as they regard a corporate journalist. Yeah, exactly. I love it. He's the millennial version of Rush Limbaugh. Yeah, he really is. And it's funny because he's not even like very right wing, if you will. Like he just really caters to the kind of MAGA base, which that's fine. But put on your MAGA hat and accept you're part of the Trump coalition and you're a hack for Trump. If you admit that, I can respect you. If you try to hide behind like this nonpartisan BS, I question what you're doing. And that's my whole problem with Tim Pool. But so I guess we'll start off with that and then I'll kind of rant on electric vehicles and alien stuff. So as you're listening to this, if you have any questions about electric vehicles or anything like that, I'm going to show some pictures of the EV that I did because I replaced a battery in a Hummer or a battery in a Hummer. I'll try to give you guys all my thoughts on EVs as a, you know, fully certified electric vehicle tech, kind of my knowledge of them, and then what I've been able to research myself. Like I said, if you guys have questions about that, I'll gladly answer them. And I will kind of go from there. So let me pull up this clip. I'll play it in its entirety, and then we'll kind of walk through and talk about what the hell he's on about here. All right.
That you are saying you accept a certain degree of mass suicide so that your graph go up.
That is not what I'm saying.
So you think we should maybe we should sanction.
And I want to pause it here because I know I could potentially get a strike for this. So I apologize, but I'm going to add some commentary while we go through this. But like the rest of the show was not much better. I made about an hour and a half through. I was listening to it right before I hopped on here. And obviously on my way home, it is not good.
Trade with Foxconn. Maybe we should restrict trade in that industry. Maybe that specific region of China. You should spend. It's horrible. It's evil. China's evil. I don't know what you're trying to make me.
Yeah.
Me say
yeah.
About
we should not do trade
with anything with China. Okay, you explain that to Americans when every single thing they rely on and buy gets more expensive after years of inflation under Biden.
I will.
You come in. MAGA comes in and says, "All right, you know what? You guys elected us because everything's so unaffordable.
I will stand on top of this goes up."
You know, I am always kind of bothered, but I kind of understand why people censor stuff. But I don't know. Like when I see people typing in like an asterisk instead of a U and fuck, I'm kind of like, come on, just let it rip, dude. Just let it rip.
I will stand on top of a mountain and say and directly into the eyes. I will do it right now.
Every voter.
I will look into the eyes of every voter right now and say, Brad is evil. And accepts human sacrifice so that you can have a cheap iPhone. And if you're willing to buy a cheap iPhone, knowing that people are committing mass suicide, you stand along with them.
So I'm
and I
evil
will stand on the
because
other
I
side.
Disagree with you about trade policy.
Because you think there's an acceptable degree of mass suicide in concentration camps so that your economy can improve.
I don't think that. You're shadow boxing.
Okay. All right. A lot here. And yeah, exactly. Two R-tarts fighting. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Now there is a certain slur, an F slur, as people might say it, a lot of my friends were saying like it's pretty bad when Tim is the, you know, bigger F slur than the dude who's actually gay. And that's exactly what it was, dude. It was bad. A lot of his rhetoric felt like nostalgia to me as my mother listens to conservative talk radio. Yeah, ugh, just so gross. So, all right, let's kind of start from the beginning, and I'll break this down as we go along. So Anybody who's listened to this podcast for a long period of time, perhaps over the last, I would say maybe like 50, 60 episodes. No, actually, Jesus. Yeah, I can't believe I'm almost up to 400 episodes. This stuff just like flies by. If you've listened to the last about 100 episodes, which I know that's a lot, but particularly the one with Carl Zaw, both episodes with Carl Zaw, and the one with Q Anthony Ali, Jason Smith, and if you go into the Wayback Machine and some of my older episodes with Patrick McFarlane, we dive into this topic very, very extensively. And I have never proclaimed to be a China expert. I'm just very, very, well, even Ken Hammond, there's another episode, so I apologize. But like, I've never proclaimed to be a China expert, but I definitely know more than probably the average person when it comes to China. That being said, I've also had lots and lots of conversations with people who know this subject a lot better than I do. And I've taken a lot of that and obviously absorbed it and done a lot of my own reading. So let's go back through this and we're going to kind of tear this apart one thing at a time.
That you are saying you accept a certain degree of mass suicide so that your graph go up.
Okay. So let's start with that. The line go up argument, I kind of understand because this comes from a lot more of like the more right wing, you know, national conservative types, more of, you know, maybe people who do favor a little bit more protectionism, which I'm not in favor of protectionism. I understand the argument. And I think it's fair to say that you want more consumption from locally owned goods. You want that industry here. Well, currently we do not have that industry. If we were to try to drive consumption towards home, towards the US, the problem is we don't make a lot of those products anymore. Okay, next thing, mass suicide, or let me make sure I got this thing right. Okay, so we're 5 seconds in, hold on.
You are saying you accept a certain degree of mass suicide.
Okay, mass suicide, that's the part I want to get to. The mass suicide deal. There was no mass suicide in China. There is no mass suicide in China. Okay, let's start there. Next point. What they're generally going for, or what he's referring to, is the suicide nets up outside of a factory. That's funny enough, a Taiwanese company that's in a city in China that employs Foxconn, that employs a lot of Chinese people. Allegedly. These are largely coming from United States-based outlets. They said there were 18 people back in 2010 that had jumped off the building and committed, you know, they offed themselves because of the, you know, they offed themselves at this Foxconn factory. Okay. We don't know anything about these people's lives. Could it be because of the working conditions? Maybe. I don't know. But let's kind of dig a little bit deeper here. Okay, so back in 2010, that was right after the financial crisis, 2 years afterwards. But once again, you have to imagine that China was in a lot worse of a place than it was now, right? China's on the up and up right now. Like, they're doing consistently better and better and better. Their economic growth is slowing down, but where they're at economically compared to where they used to be is much, 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 much more strong. Siege, I see your super chat. I will get to it in a second. Their economic position in the world is much better than it used to be. So is it possible that those people maybe were having a rough go of it at that time? Maybe. It's a Taiwanese company too. Okay, so why does that matter? Well, who has the U.S. been trying to kind of, you know, dig in there a little bit to make a little bit of an issue out of this whole situation? U.S. has been kind of messing with Taiwan because they see this as a great unsinkable aircraft carrier, which is basically what they say Israel is as well, against China. I'm not quite as familiar with U.S.-China relations back then, but once again, the thing to consider here is that it's a Taiwanese company inside China, and there were only 18 people that had died. And we're talking a billion people in one of the most populous countries in the entire world. I'm skeptical of this story for one, and for two, we're also talking about a country that we're trying to fight a war against. Let me address some of these comments here. Matt Winnicott, can the liberals want to ban the internal combustion by 2035? you know, I'll come back to that. Siege, your super chat. Thank you so much. Hold on. Let me play this for you.
Falcon Punch!
As always, I just love that video. Belt needed for lifting heavier. If you can give me a little bit more context, Siege, I'll give you a little bit more information. But for me personally, when it comes to doing like any kind of powerlifting, specifically like squats and deadlifts, probably a good idea to use a belt, but also at the same time, probably a good idea to not always use a belt. So like for me personally, what I do is I'll warm up without a belt, but as soon as I put over 300 pounds on my back, I'm putting the belt on. Whenever I'm deadlifting, once I get to 400 pounds, I put a belt on. Okay. That's just me. I've had a back injury. I've recovered from it, but, you know, it just depends. For powerlifting, I use a belt. So, yeah, I don't totally disagree with Tim on this. However, the suicide issue is the one that, yeah, of course, CCP, and well, it's CPC, Communist Party of China. I think people paint out China to be a lot more of a bad guy than it is. And like, we'll get into this a little bit more. Okay, let me let the video keep playing and we'll kind of keep rolling through this.
So that your graph go up.
That is not what I'm saying.
So you think we should...
No, maybe we should sanction trade with Foxconn. Maybe we should...
So like this point right here, actually, I don't think is an entirely bad point. If there is unethical practices being done with a company, then by all means, choke them off at the knees. Stop doing business with that company. People can protest their products. People cannot get iPhones. If that's really what you're worried about, and if that's legit also, let's not forget that. If this is a situation, then yeah, probably got a idea to choke them off the knees. So that way, you know, either they figure out how to, you know, do more ethical practices or what, but I'm pretty skeptical of this story, to be completely honest with you.
Restrict trade in that industry, maybe that specific region of China. You should spend.
Okay. This is the part that I wanted to get to. The Uyghur concentration camps. Okay, so you know what's funny is that every single time people talk about the Uyghurs in China, and they're always talking about the Uyghurs in the Xinjiang province over in China, which is, you know, where a Muslim majority or minority is over there. They have been ginning up this story for years. Okay, so one more time, if you guys want to learn about this, go back to my show with Q Anthony Lee, Carl Zaw, Patrick McFarland, Ken Hammond. And we discuss this a lot more at length. A lot of these claims kind of start from the Falun Gong, which is a energy cult, a cult that believes in aliens and energy in your chest and all this wacky, crazy stuff that were part of this area right here. They also got CIA funding through the National Endowment for Democracy. The Falun Gong did, right? Li Shangzhu, I think is the guy's name, who literally got straight up paychecks from the CIA to be a part of this cult. And they are the guys who now run the Epoch Times, right? The network that went really, 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 went to bat for Trump. So when people talk about the Uyghur stuff, it's always they're going back to that. And okay, so to give a little bit more context as well, back when, you know, China was kind of coming up over the last like 30, 40 years, there were a lot of Uyghur Muslims there. And those Uyghur Muslims had also been trained at one point in Syria by CIA as well. All the things done to and surrounding the Uyghurs 100% ethical and above board? No, there was some, you know, I'm sure there were some things that we would be like, yeah, that's not cool. Like you probably shouldn't do that. These people, some of them had also committed literal terrorist attacks where, you know, they were stabbing people en masse. They were going into malls and, you know, murdering people there. So, I mean, there was a lot of stuff that went on that was bad. They did have camps there, but they weren't like these concentration camps where they were forcing these people to do work. They were helping them assimilate into the culture, right? Because when you have a billion people in a country, you kind of need to have some authoritarian measures. And I'm not justifying this one way or the other. It's just an explanation. You kind of need to have some authoritarian measures in order to make sure that, you know, a large group of dissatisfied people don't rise up against you. Once again, not justifying it. I'm just saying that's what it is. Everybody that I've talked to that has been to China has never seen any evidence of a genocide. None. Every person that I know that has looked into this story seriously found no evidence of genocide. Were they treated poorly? Yes. But was it a genocide? No. Because you know what? Their population actually went up. Their population over the last, you know, 20, 30 years has only gone up consistently. In fact, they're even exempt from the one child policy. So if they were genociding them, don't you think their population would be going down? Seems pretty conclusive. And it's funny because they don't apply this argument to the Palestinians and what's being done by Israel. Like, yeah, their population went up in Israel, but we're looking at the massive amount of corpses that are piling up over in Gaza. So, and when you start looking up Chinese slave labor, every single story goes right back to Uyghur Muslims. Yeah, Brett, exactly. The Uyghur story is a dead horse that won't die. Chinese fella told me that U.S. loans countries money. If the country can't pay, China pays loan. That is not entirely. Basically, what China has done over the last 10 years or so with the Belt and Road Initiative is basically offer a lot of countries low interest loans. And then sometimes even when they don't pay it, they just forgive it. And also their help building infrastructure. A lot of China's relations are based on win-win. That's what they want to do. They want to have good relations with the world and trade. Now, could you argue some of this is debt trap diplomacy? I'm sure some of it is. But as I've always said, would you rather have a briefcase or would you rather have bombs? That's kind of your decision.
It's horrible. It's evil. China's evil. I don't know what you're trying to make me say about...
We should not do trade.
With anything with China. Okay, you explain that to Americans when every single thing they rely on and buy gets more expensive after years of inflation under Biden.
I will.
You come in.
I
MAGA
will.
Comes in.
I will.
And this is the part that they never seriously engage with. The reason why a lot of industry, and they did kind of cover this in the show a little bit, but the reason why a lot of industry went over to China is because people saw that as, you know, somewhere that was more business friendly. I made this point so many times now until I'm blue in the face, but China became more like the U.S. used to be, and we became more like what China used to be. Regulations, the boot of government on our neck at all times, can't open a business. It's not very entrepreneurial friendly. Why don't we go back to being, you know, friendly to entrepreneurs? It seems like Trump kind of wants to do that. And I think that's a lot of what like the Doge kind of stuff, the Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy kind of ideas. I don't know. We'll see if that comes to fruition. I hope it does. But, you know, making the country more business friendly would go a long way in reducing our reliance on China. The trade relationship with China, though, overall is a good thing because it does kind of keep people in a level-headed way somewhat, right? As in, we don't go into an all-out war with China because we have a strict trade, you know, a very, very big trade relationship with them. But yeah, exactly. When you, to Brad's point, as much I hate agreeing with him, if you do put tariffs on all these things, if you do cut off trade with China, things are going to get more expensive. And I don't think people want that. But that's up to them. It's largely out of our hands, but my opinion is we should bring industry back home and we should make industry, you know, the country more industry friendly. We should remove regulations, red tape that keeps people from starting businesses. We should offer huge, huge tax incentives to people who want to open businesses in the country and provide jobs and infrastructure to our country. Why would we not do that? Anyways,
Will says, all right, you know what? You guys elected us because everything's so unaffordable.
I will stand on top of a mountain.
This goes up.
I will stand on top of a mountain and say and directly into the eyes. I will do it right now. I will look into the eyes of every voter right now and say, Brett is evil and accepts human sacrifice.
And look at how vindictive this freaking dude makes up. Like, over trade stuff. Yeah, exactly, MK. Uyghurs make up a significant percentage of the HTS terrorists in Syria, and they're publicly advocating for a similar coup in Xinjiang. So I wonder why China is a little bit skeptical of them. And as I said earlier, and MK, you probably know this as well. Once again, the CIA was training them at one point. All you kind of have this circle here. And if you listen to the show I did with Q Anthony Lee, we kind of talked about this as well, where that specific area in Xinjiang is where actually the Silk Road, or, you know, basically like a lot of the energy for the Belt and Road Initiative would go through. So I wonder why America would want to stir up chaos in that region. Why there would be CIA trained Uyghurs in that area who have an issue with China, and then you proclaim that they're being that genocide is being committed upon them. When you look at it through that lens, it starts to make a lot more sense.
So that you can have a cheap iPhone. And if you're willing to buy a cheap iPhone, knowing that people are committing mass suicide.
And this is, it's so hyperbolic. Tim is such a, I say he's such a retard, but there is no mass suicide in China. There is not slave labor in China anymore. And it's not even like it's like that much cheaper to have stuff produced in China anymore. There was a video that my buddy King Waffle had sent over to me on Twitter, and it was whoever the hell the owner of Apple is. He's like, no, we don't go over to China because it's cheap anymore. We go there because there's a lot of talent over there. People still have this idea about China that it's like some authoritarian dystopian country where there's surveillance everywhere. But it's largely different than it used to be because, you know, they opened up. They kind of, once again, they're becoming a lot more like the U.S. Yeah, exactly.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
So the CIA is doing what the CIA does best, overthrowing governments. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to cause chaos in the region, the Xinjiang region, because that's where the Belt and Road Initiative would go through to get more energy to China. It would make it a lot more efficient for them. Yeah, they're communists in name only. I mean, once again, their goal is trade with the world, free trade, and, you know, mutually beneficial relationships with other countries. And part of this kind of goes into, well, you know what, before I go into that, I'll let the rest of this play.
You stand along with them.
So I'm
and I
evil
will stand
because
the other
I
side.
Disagree with you about trade policy.
Because you
No, it's largely irrelevant. So this kind of goes to the other thing about the current Trump administration with their likely focus on South America. The South American countries have been pretty hard done by the U.S. I mean, there was a video I watched the other day, and I wish I still had it. But basically, we've tried to overthrow almost every single country except for like Mexico since like the 1850s. You know, the more recent one, obviously, being Venezuela. But, you know, the trade embargo on Cuba, trying to overthrow Cuba at one point, massive sanctions on Venezuela, specifically on their energy. And they're the second most oil rich country in the entire world. Multiple coups on Venezuela, always supporting the opposition. You know, the recognizing of Juan Guaido as the official president of Venezuela. All that stuff, the Panama Canal stuff now. We kind of wonder why they're more deferential to China and why China is able to go over there and make friends with the region. Maybe if we quit doing that shit, maybe we could be the ones kind of, you know, having a more beneficial relationship with them. But instead, we try to coup Venezuela because they have a government that we don't like. And I'm not saying Maduro is any kind of saint or anything like that. I mean, clearly, Venezuela is a shithole. I wouldn't want to live in Venezuela. You know, it was back a couple of years ago where they're saying like the average weight of a person was, Like the average person lost like 17 pounds due to starvation. Now, to give a caveat to this, because I want to, you know, be fair to both sides, they're a socialist government, but they also have sanctions, particularly on their energy, which is their largest export. Okay, so what's going to happen when you can't really function as a country because the U.S. has imposed so many sanctions on you? Gets a little bit tough down there. So I would argue it's probably a little bit of both. I don't know which one would be more consequential. You could probably ask if it's like the chicken or the egg. But, you know, if you guys want a little bit more of a detailed analysis on Venezuela, you go back to and listen to the show I did with the Anya Parampil a couple months ago. And, you know, she's much, much more well-informed than I am. But yeah, people like wonder why China is fostering trade relations. It's not like expansionism. It's more of just like, hey, we're going to have trade with you. And that's that. BRICS is developing because the U.S. is doing everything they can to, you know, try to either impose their will on other countries or force them in the arms of China and Russia and BRICS. Well, it's working. So, you know, what do you expect? Well, I mean, we have like NATO and we treat our partners good in that respect, where we give them defense guarantees, but though we try to sanction and tariff the shit out of everybody, and we wonder why, you know, the rest of the world's turning against us. Why don't we try a different path for once? You know, why don't we do what China does? Briefcases instead of bombs. I'm not saying I want the government, you know, the U.S. government to give out handouts to all these countries. But what I'm saying is that, like, we want to have good relations with other countries and we don't want them to go be friendly with China. Then we have to give them a better deal. I mean, that's just the way that it is. The U.S. rules naval trade. The regime won't allow a large chunk of the world to trade via land. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's why we protect a lot of like the shipping lanes over in the Middle East as well. I think Trump wants a Panama Canal because, I mean, really it was, who was it, Jimmy Carter that kind of gave it away or built it or whatever the hell it was. But I wasn't watching a video on it. I was going to do a whole podcast on it, but I just, it out of my mind. I have a feeling that Tim is in the pool of Panama's overcharging the U.S. ships. Yeah, Honduras is also a socialist country. But yeah, all those countries down there are kind of shitholes, if I'm being honest. But like, once again, they're only going over to China because we've treated them very, very poorly. And they probably don't want to be overthrown. And they probably want somebody that's going to be a little bit more fair to them, if I'm being honest. So let me run a Tiger Fitness ad and we'll get back into it.
I am stoked to tell you guys about the show's new sponsor. I am now working with MTS Nutrition, which is a brand that I've believed in for a very long time, and they run awesome cells and they have awesome products. So I want to tell you about their amazing protein powder, which you're going to ask me how many pounds I have of the protein powder, and the answer is all of them. So here I got red velvet cake, 25 grams of protein. And they have the amino acids and everything on there, 59 servings. Peanut butter fluff, fluffer nutter, 26 grams of protein. And then also the chocolate chip cookie, which literally has real pieces of chocolate chip cookie in there. So 27 grams of protein, 180. As I've talked about on the show, getting your protein in is very, very important. So make sure you hit that link below and purchase your protein powder through MTS Nutrition. Boom!
All right, and we are back. So I think I kind of beat the China stuff into submission, if you will, or at least gave you guys enough information to go off of. There is no mass suicide over in China, and there is no Uyghur concentration camps. That region now is pretty clean and nice, to my understanding. At least when I asked Jason about it, he had it kind of indicated that every time he's been there, and same with Ken Hammond, that when he was there, they both said it was a pretty nice area. I drive long. So we're going to go over to the electric vehicle section. I drive long distances to work. The infrastructure is not here for electric vehicles, so I can't own. Yeah. And same deal. I drive about 50 miles a day. So, it just depends on how far you're driving, but I'll answer this now. Canada's liberals want to ban the internal combustion engine by 2035. If I'm being honest, I don't think banning the combustion or the internal combustion engine is going to be coming anytime soon. And also the whole autonomous vehicle thing where we think we're going to be living in like Skynet like next week, that's not going to happen anytime soon either. So, I replaced a battery in a Hummer because it wasn't taking a charge. So I'll take some of the, or show you guys some of these pictures. Let me go here, see if this works. Sorry. Hold on. I replaced a battery in a Hummer recently because it wouldn't take a charge. It had some weird codes in it. We tried to plug it in, tried to see if it would take a charge, wouldn't take a charge. So what you do is you do like a programming thing where GM is basically able to see all the information from the Hummer, and they'll tell you what the correct course of action is next. So I'm going to blow this up a little bit. All right. So this is the box that the Hummer battery came in. And as you can see, this thing is large. So obviously this stall is where you would like lift a vehicle. And, you know, to the left there or to the right is a Cadillac XT5. It's pretty big. What we need to do is get rid of governmental regulations, very high performance, achieve amazing fuel economy with electric vehicle performance. Yeah, exactly. And I always use the example of your Corvette, where you have a 650 horsepower Corvette that gets 33 miles of a gallon, which like that's pretty freaking cool. So let me see. Let me make sure I'm in the right window here. And I'm in the wrong one. There we go. Okay, so yeah, that's the box for the Hummer battery. And the Hummer battery itself weighs 3,700 pounds. Okay, so this is a shot of the battery. This is the front of the battery, okay? So right here is where the coolant passages go, the two coolant tubes. So coolant goes through there, and there's all sorts of little battery cells inside this big-ass battery assembly here. The high-voltage cables go here, and there's one cable that goes there. This is the underneath of the Hummer. This is obviously without the battery. So you got two connectors up here. They're low voltage connectors. You see by the size of the wires. These three high voltage connectors go in the back as well. The old battery is right there. But so that's what it looks like underneath. There's not really a lot underneath there. This is the shop. So as you can see, this is the rear of that new of the battery. There's a ground in the front and back. Like I said, this is the new battery here. They have it in a pallet. You have to remove the top part of it. And I mean, like the top part of that box, I don't know if it's in this picture. No, it's not. But so that's the new battery. You have to put hooks in it. As you can see right here on the forklift for those listening, there's a forklift, you see the two forks and then the little hooks down there that you hook to the battery, and you put little hooks through here to lift the battery up. And then obviously there's a special tool to get the Hummer battery out. It's like a little platform that you set the battery down on, and then it has casters so that way you can kind of move it around as need be. All right. So this is driving the Hummer. I know, not supposed to use your phone while driving, but the interior on it's just gorgeous. I love these things. I truly do. That's the outside of it. They are pretty freaking sharp, I do say so myself. Another thing is that the roof does come off. So this whole panel up top, it comes off, and it's just like, it's literally just like T-tops. It's so cool. But yeah, I am a big fan of the EV Hummer. Now, to kind of go to more of the kind of like feasibility point, which some people are kind of bringing up there in the chat, I don't think they're feasible right now. And anybody that knows anything about Hummers or EVs, they're not very feasible right now. Do I wish they were? Yeah, of course, because I mean, they're cool when you drive them, it's a lot of fun. They're smooth as could be. They ride nice. There's no noise, which is a little weird, but also you have like a lot more storage. So like that whole front area of that vehicle actually has a trunk where you could set down all like the roof panels and everything. They make special bags for it. This was a two motor, so you can get a two motor Hummer or you can get a three motor Hummer. The two motor Hummer is still pretty fucking fast. I mean, the 0 to 60 on that is probably under 6 seconds, maybe even under 5 seconds. If you get a three motor, the 0 to 60 on it, I'm pretty sure is under 4 seconds. We're talking about a 10,000 pound vehicle that will do burnouts and has a 0 to 60 of under like 5 seconds. They are ridiculously fast. Now the price tag on it is about $100,000. So they are very, very, very expensive. But they're so freaking cool. So let me catch up with some of these. Let me make sure Twitter, for some reason, my Twitter uploads or puts comments at the top rather than like in sequence with the rest of the thing. Yeah, the Ford Lightning is pretty quick too. But like the only faster truck than the three motor Hummer is the Rivian, actually, which is like half the size. But like, you know, with this Hummer, the way that electric vehicles work when it comes to pulling stuff too, is that half the capacity. So half the capacity towing reduces your life by half. So let's say just in a hypothetical world, and obviously the towing capacity on this Hummer is a lot more than that. The weight capacity for the Hummer was 4,000 pounds. If you're towing a 2,000 pound camper behind it, you would reduce your battery life by half. So if your range was 400 miles, your range would go down to 200 miles. The Hummer could pull a lot more. I don't know the exact towing capacity, but I'll tell you what, it is one pulling motherfucker. Will be interesting when these rust out and the chassis is no longer capable of holding the heavy battery up. Well, so they will stay in there. And how I found this out, and I found it out the hard way, there's 14 bolts, if I remember correctly, that hold the battery in from the top. So if you look at that one picture, and you know, I'll bring it back up just so that way you guys can kind of see what I'm talking about here. Okay, so these little silver dots here, right? That right there, those little bolt holes actually hold the battery into the vehicle as well. So they're 15 millimeter bolts, and they're probably like 2-3 inches long. They will hold the entire weight of the battery. Two of those bolts will hold 3,700 pounds. Ask me how I know. Anyways, they have 14 of those up top. And then they have, I think it's, I'm sorry. They have 16 up top and then 14 on the bottom. The 14 bolts on the bottom are 24 millimeter bolts, and they're probably like 5 or 6 inches long that go up into the floor. Or that go up into the body, and then the ones come down from the top. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was, I was sitting there wondering, I'm like, why the hell won't this goddamn battery come out? And then the one dude that works next to me, he's like, hey, come on. You know, you probably got two bolts up there. Surely enough, I did. But no, everything went back together actually pretty well. They tell you to use like this goofy alignment tool. So basically they're like two long pins. So they're like a bit longer than this pen, and they're supposed to help kind of guide the battery back in. The guy who works, the other lead tech, the other EV guy in my shop, had said that when he tried using those, they didn't really help him. He ended up having to take the whole battery loose anyways to get the bolts started. What I did is basically just put that battery back underneath there. And that's kind of a pain in the ass, like line up this big ass battery underneath the car. And I started all the bolts, and then I started tightening the ones up top, and then, you know, did all the ones at the bottom to make sure that they were all, you know, to get them all tight. And then once I had it up in the air, I torqued all the lower bolts on the battery to make sure that they were in there good and tight. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought you did it like that. Well, yeah, so like on some of the older ones, it was almost like a T, but like the newer EVs, like your, obviously your Hummer and your Lyriq, the whole underneath of the body is a battery. So they're definitely different than the old ones. Whereas like I said, the Volt, it was like a T, and then you had like five battery cells with like hose, or, you know, a couple little hoses that would go in between the battery cells to help coolant go all throughout them. You know, it sounds complicated, but it really isn't as bad as you would think. It we compare it to like dropping down a gas tank. Now, all the other bullshit around it, pain in the ass. Hybrids over an EV, Tesla sounds like a space. Well, yeah, so they all have to have a noise, because if you have a 10,000-pound vehicle moving around, you probably want to know that it's coming, because people are, you know, don't always pay attention to their surroundings. So, ugh, yeah, you kind of understand that. So yeah, but yeah, like I gotta say, I'm a fan of the EVs. I wish they had the infrastructure for it. I wish it was like feasible, because if you want to stop and charge that Hummer, I used our DC fast charger today, and it was that battery's first charge all the way up to 100%. It took probably a good 4 or 5 hours to get that thing up to charge. Now, once again, with a new battery, it's going to take a little bit longer to charge, but if it's a little bit older, then it'll probably take a little bit less time to charge. Now, like the DC fast chargers that you could pay for at like gas stations, stuff like that, my understanding is they're supposed to charge it to full in like 45 minutes. The Hummer EV range, I think, is like 350 to 400 miles. The Cadillac Lyriq are, I think, like 320. They might even be over 400. I could be mistaken, but I drove it around last night. It was a lot of fun. I drive, like I said, like 25 miles to work. And it was at 81% when I left work. And when I took it off charge. And I put about 80 miles on it. And that reduced the range by about 30%, if I remember correctly. So they're not going away. As much as we would like to still have our V8, you know, rumbly engines that sound cool, look cool, and drive cool as shit, the EVs are going to be here to stay. I dig them. And I told all the guys in the shop this, that if I could replace one of those Hummer batteries a day, I would do it, because I would make so much fucking money on them. They're not hard to do. And I actually really enjoyed doing it. You have to put on the high voltage gloves, obviously, because, you know, you're dealing with thousands of volts, and also takes a half amp across your heart to kill you and stop your heart. But the way that like the high voltage gloves are, you have like these rubber gloves that are recertified every 6 months. You're supposed to check them every time before you use them, obviously. And then you put on a pair of leather gloves over top of them in order to start messing with the high voltage connectors, just to make sure that like nothing happens. They want you to put up cones around the area and have like a shepherd's hook or like a broomstick close by, so that way if you get zapped, someone can push you out of the way, because if someone else goes and, you know, let's say tries to stiff arm you, they get shocked too. So it's kind of like the whole swimming thing where you reach out a foot for somebody, and if they try to pull you down, you let them drown. Same deal. Yeah. Brad Palumbo versus Tim Pohl is a hell of a Sophie's choice. Yeah. But yeah, the EV stuff, man, it's fucking awesome. I'm a believer. Would I get an EV right now? No, because I can't afford them. They're so fucking expensive, but like, they're pretty fucking neat. GM has done them right. I think they put all the other electric vehicles to shame. I think the Hummer EV is the coolest electric vehicle on the market right now. And if I could afford one of those, I would have one in a heartbeat. But I ain't got $93,000 sitting around the house to spend on a Hummer. And the other thing that would suck is I'm putting tires on that goddamn thing. That's going to be like $2,000 a pop. So, yeah, same deal with the Cadillac Lyriq. You're looking at about $1,400 in tires. They're about, I think, $60,000 or $70,000 for those. But, you know, even those are pretty quick. And they're coming out with the Cadillac Lyriq V as well. So, yeah. Yeah, I was already talking about that a little bit earlier, Zach. So, yeah, if you guys have any more questions about EVs, feel free to drop them here. I want to kind of geek out on my love for Alien stuff a little bit more, because, yeah, I just beat Alien Isolation, and, man, like, if you guys are looking for, like, a horror game, that's a good one, JP. If you're looking for a good survival horror game, man, Alien Isolation is it. It's 10 years old, but I got it on sale for like $5 or something like that. I'm like, oh, well, you know what? I'm big into the Alien movies now, so what the hell? Why not? I played the shit out of that game. I no-lifed it. They said the game was a little, like, very, very long. It would take people, like, 20 or 30 hours to get through it. It might have taken me all of that, maybe even more, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought the game was fucking awesome. The other thing that's really cool about it is that most games, especially stealth games, kind of have, like, a standard artificial intelligence, or, like, basically all the enemies have, like, a predictable pattern that they move in, which is fine. It makes the game challenging to a degree, but also you can kind of figure it out. What's really cool about Alien Isolation is that their AI does not have preset motions for the alien. The alien has, like, all these cones of sight, and obviously, like, a cone for feeling, and also, like, different meters that they use. Like a, I forget what it was called, but they have different ways of trying to, like, turn up the intensity of the game. So that way, when you're playing, the alien kind of stays on your path and you don't just keep doing the same maneuvers over and over again. So, like, they actually have a quota in there. If you're hiding in cabinets too much, the alien's going to start to look in cabinets more and more and more. If you go under beds too much, same deal. That could be frustrating because that quota doesn't reset when you die or if you get found. Kind of a pain in the ass, but it's very, very interesting because it's not just a standard AI. I mean, this is, like, a very, very advanced form for a game that is, like, of artificial intelligence, where most other games are pretty straightforward and pretty simple about it. But yeah, if you're looking for, like, a good survival horror game, man, I cannot recommend that game enough. It is difficult, but it's not so difficult that you won't want to keep playing. I mean, I did a few times, but, like, you'll want to keep playing it. Now I want to play something a little bit more fast-paced, but yeah, man, I love it. I can't wait to play through the sequel if they come out with one. I think they announced one recently, so whenever that comes out, I want to play through Alien Fireteam. If anybody here on YouTube plays Xbox or PC, please let me know and add me, because I would love to play some games with some people. I usually play on, like, Sundays, sometimes weekday nights. It just depends. But, I am a little bit of, like, a closeted geek, if you will. But, yeah, I would definitely recommend checking it out. So, Alien Earth is coming out, and I'm super excited to watch that show as well. So whenever that comes out, I'll be no-lifing all of that show and binging it. So I think that's all I got. I don't want to talk about the, I don't have anything else on the plate. If you guys have any questions, feel free to drop them here in the outro as I kind of wind us down here. Common Crown has a whole crap ton of shows coming up, a ton of good ones. We're playing with Lacey Sturm from Flyleaf on March 21st at the Raindrop Inn, and we might be playing, it's actually an Orthodox Christian benefit with Lacey Sturm on March 28th. We haven't been confirmed yet, but I think we're going to be on it. That's going to be at Spirit down in Pittsburgh. I played there once before, and it was a really good time, really cool venue. So we're looking forward to that. We're playing with Cultist Black on the 9th. That's going to be a fun one. We're going to be debuting some new tunes. And we're playing with George Lynch and Lynch Mob on February 26th. And we have a whole bunch of other shows. If you go to our Facebook page, you'll find all of them there. Tiger Fitness through the link below. As always, if you want some supplements, get yourself all jacked and tan, that's the place to go. Use code Kyle at checkout, or it should be tigerfitness.com/KyleM. Fox and Sons Coffee, as always, some fantastic coffee. Use code Kyle at checkout as well to let Steven know that I sent you. I think that's all I got. Make sure, if you guys so choose, please become a channel member for the lowly price of $2.99 a month. I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. If not, leave a like on the way out here. And tomorrow I'll be having Sam Urban on, my fellow co-host from 5 till Midnight. We're going to be talking about who we are as Americans and kind of who got here first, cultural anthropology. And I'm sure we'll get into some other topics too. It's always a good time hanging out with him and obviously all the guys off 5 till Midnight. So anyways, guys, thank you so much for listening. And until next time, take care.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.